Okay, I want you to close your eyes and raise your hand and say, I believe that God cares about me and my needs. And I thank Jesus for being the answer that I need. Amen. We're blessed, folks. We are blessed. Everybody say that. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. Musicians, you can retire for a few minutes. I'm going to turn in the Bible and read a scripture, a passage of scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 3. I just have a short exhortation for you tonight, and it's specifically for those who want to minister. 1 Timothy 3. We here at this church have a very huge blessing in that we have willing and anointed and qualified young people, and you know, even my age, young guys like me. You can be a young senior citizen, right? But we have a number of qualified people that can preach the gospel and teach the word of God. And if you've been here very long, you notice that a lot of times there's someone different in the pulpit because we have a lot of people co-pastoring with us and co-ministering with us. And, you know, I co-inhabit our dwelling with my wife. We're co-workers in the work. We're co-inhabitors where we inhabit. And this ministry, this church, has a lot of co-ministries. We work together in the same, not in the same house like me and my wife, but we work together in the same pulpit and in the same ministry. And we're just honored by that. And I have a word that it fits anyone that wants to minister, but it's especially for my co-workers tonight. And I'm going to be reading it out of the Amplified Version of the Bible. It has quite a few more words than most versions, but it helps amplify the meaning. Did you find 1 Timothy 3? Amen. Now you might say, well, what am I going to get out of this? I'm not a preacher. Well, if you're a parent, you're preaching to your kids every day. Did you hear me? If you're a parent, you're preaching to your kids every day. And if you're married, you're preaching to your spouse every day. And if you're single, you're preaching to your friends every day. Someone always has something to preach or teach or share or exhort. Amen. But this scripture is from the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to his disciple, the young Timothy, who was Timothy pastored a church at a place called Ephesus in Asia. And Paul says to him, he says, the saying is true. If any man eagerly seeks the office of a bishop or an overseer, he desires an excellent work. Preachers are overseers. Did you know parents are overseers? You see how the preach falls over on the parents too? You or we are their parents. We are overseers. And it says here, if you seek the office of an overseer, it's an excellent work. You know, say, you wouldn't think it was so excellent if you knew these kids of mine. Well, it may seem like that, but if you'll continue to preach, teach, instruct, bless, and love those children, one day they're going to make you so proud. One day they'll grow up out of their rebellion and grow up out of their silliness, and they're going to make you so proud. And you'll be so happy that you preached to your children and gave them the truth of God's word. So it is an excellent work. He goes on talking here, using the words bishops in this particular translation, or overseer. It must give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach. That means you got to walk right, think right, talk right, behave. Amen? Give no grounds for accusation. I can remember the times with my children when I would be instructing my children and they would say, "Yeah, but Dad, you." You see, they're watching everything we do. Well, and it's the same way if you're an overseer or a minister in the church. You know, he's going to say, "Yeah, but Pastor, you preach one thing, do another." You know, we need to practice what we preach. Amen. Parent or pastor. Says we need to be circumspect and temperate and self-controlled. If we don't control ourselves, someone will. And we might not like it from someone else. We must be sensible, well-behaved. Did you hear that, Mitch? Well-behaved. Now, I don't know how this is going to work. And dignified. The Bible translator that worked on this book, maybe he was formal. It says here we need to be dignified. It says we need to live an orderly and disciplined life. If we'll lead an orderly and disciplined life, whether parent or preacher, parent or pastor, our orderly and disciplined life will be the greatest lesson we can teach to those who watch us. Amen? Be hospitable. Show love. Show love, being a friend to believers and especially strangers. You know, it's not always easy to be a friend to a stranger, because if you're like me, you're kind of bashful, like, "Well, I don't really know him. Yeah. I've never seen her before." But we need to be, Mitch, we need to be friendly, even to the strangers. Amen. We need to be capable and qualified as a teacher. Now, you might say, "Well, what qualifies a teacher?" Well, Ivan's planning to go to Bible school, so in that particular term, once he finishes Bible school and gets his certificates and he'll and his diplomas, then he'll be qualified to teach. But what about people like me that never went to Bible school? What qualifies me to teach? That's a good question. Well, I'll share with you, my only qualification is experience. And I believe that's a good thing. Now, what schooling and training, such as Bible school, does, it helps guide you the right direction to help you gain experience without so many mistakes, because your teachers are people that have been there before. Maybe your occupation is something you learn from every day. And you learn from those above you or those that teach you because they've been there before. They saw that situation before. They've been in that situation before. And so they can teach you so you'll have a better and more learning experience as you move up the ladder. Amen? Now here's one, not given to wine. Doesn't say don't drink wine. It says don't be given to wine, or don't be a wino. It says be gentle and considerate, not quarrelsome, Did you hear that, Barbara? I'm teasing now. We don't quarrel much. We just quarrel enough to make, you know, to be able to make up once in a while. Don't be a lover of money. Now, money's a good thing, but you don't want money to have you. We all need money, but we don't want to love money. We want to love God and love people. I mean, why should I love money? It's made out of paper and metal, and it can do nothing for me once it passes, and it's so expendable, and it's so destructible, and how many of you have the first dollar you ever made? You know, it's gone. So we don't love money. It's just a thing that's used. We must rule our own house well, keep our children under control, with dignity, commanding respect in every way, and keeping our children respectful. You know, we live in a Latin society here. Even those of us who are not necessarily of Latin blood, we eat enough chili to qualify, and we were able to live in a Latin society, a Latin culture. And I've noticed among the Latinos, there's a strong emphasis on teaching children to be respectful. Now, given the risk, they're not always respectful, so they have to be taught and reminded again and again and again. But they teach, you know, don't just walk in front of someone. No, you say, if you're speaking English, excuse me. Or if it's in Spanish, con permiso, right? See? And so I really honor our Latin culture for the many ways such as that we teach our children through repetition. How many times do you have to tell that kid? Again and again and again. But they get it, and they get it well enough that when they start having children, that comes out, and they start teaching their children what they learned as children, right? And here we have it in the Bible, written in God's Word, that we are to be respectful and keep our children respectful. Here, speaking of those who guard God's house and teach the word of God, says if a man or a bishop does not know how to rule his own house, how is he going to take care of the church of God? Dropping down to verse 7, he must have a good reputation, be well thought of by those on the outside of the church, lest he become involved in slander or reproach and fall into the devil's trap. Did you know sometimes even preachers can fall into the devil's trap? You know, you can have 1,000 faithful preachers, they don't get much news. You have one that falls into sin and falls into the devil's trap, and it's all over the news as if everybody was doing it. But the Word of God teaches us to stay out of the devil's trap. We must have a good reputation, be well thought of outside of those of the church. That's interesting. Now we're going to drop down to verse 11. It's talking about women. You know, women can be parents too. And women can be pastors too. Women likewise must be worthy of respect, serious, and not gossipers. Be temperate, self-controlled, trustworthy in all things. Don't you just love to be around someone that's trustworthy? You just trust that person? Isn't that good to be able to trust people? There's a lot more to this. This whole chapter 3 has a theme along these same lines I was talking about. But what I want to say to my co-laborers tonight, my fellow ministers, is first of all, God's watching us. He doesn't go on vacation. He stays alert and watches after his co-laborers, his ambassadors, his workers and pastors. And not only is God watching us, but Mitch, our family's watching us. Wives watch us. Children watch us. And then there's those church people that watch. They watch what we do, what we say. And then there's the world around us, our workplace. They watch us. And we're called to be representatives of God's kingdom. And we're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And we need to walk in respect towards that forgiveness that is ours. If we will respect the pardon that we have and the forgiveness that we have through the precious blood of Jesus, it'll make us want to walk right before God. I was doing some studies today on various preachers in the Word of God. And the first one mentioned in the Word, it comes from Genesis chapter 6, is Noah. And then he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, the New Testament, and also 1 Peter in the New Testament. He's mentioned that he was a preacher of righteousness. And it's also mentioned in Hebrews that it was that righteousness that he preached that he also lived by faith. And in Romans chapter 4, we find that Abraham lived by faith, and God counted that as righteousness for him. And so we have here two preachers in the Bible. We have Noah, and we have Abraham, that lived lives of faith, and God called their faith righteousness. Now, what in the world is righteousness? That's in right standing with God. Now, there's only one real thing that's going to make us in right standing with God, and that's believing in the blood of Jesus. I can never work hard enough or do enough good works to stand in right standing with God or righteousness with God. It's only by faith in the precious blood that I can fall to the foot of the cross and let his blood cleanse my life. And that is my righteousness. My personal righteousness, according to the prophet Jeremiah, is filthy rags. And so I can't count on my personal righteousness. It's ugly. But I can count on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I can count on the precious blood that cleanses me. And that is the righteous faith that God honors and that we should be preaching and walking in. Anyway, I just had that short exhortation for us as ministers. We need to walk as close as we can to hearing the Holy Spirit. As we went through praise and worship tonight, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit. He kept trying to say, listen to this, listen to this. I want you to pray for the needs of the people. And I would go into another form of thought, another thought mode. And then the Holy Spirit would bring it back to my remembrance and say, I want you to minister to the needs of the people. And so that's why I started this, by bringing you up into this family circle, and we begin to minister to the needs of the people. And I believe God is changing some things for you guys tonight. And I'm not trying to sound proudful towards my own person, but I believe because I was able to put on the shelf my thoughts and bring myself into what the Holy Spirit was saying, I believe our prayers are effective, and I believe that things are happening in your lives tonight because of the prayers we prayed. This little short exhortation I did for preachers and parents, that's good, but the lasting effect on your life is going to be the prayers we prayed. I really believe God's working in your lives. I just see it. I just see it. I keep being drawn to you. I just see the Word of God working in you. You might say, well, I don't know very much of the Word of God. Well, I don't either, but it just takes one word from Him to change my whole life. And the Word that is in you, the Word that is in your memory banks, He's going to bring those things to your remembrance and use them to teach you and guide you. And I just see God working in your life and in your family. Miracles. Miracles. We're talking about God here. We can expect miracles. He's not the God of barely get by. He's a God of let's do this right. Huh? Let's do this right. He's a big God. He wants to do miracles in our life, but He wants us to believe Him for that. He says, you know, I can just see Him say, hey, I'm God. Tell me what you want. I can do this. I'm God. Tell me what you want. That's the God we serve. He wants to be bold with your answers so you can be bold with your questions, bold with your needs. Say, Lord, help. And He'll say, here I am. What do you need? Amen. Well, anyway, I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I know a lot of you have to get up early in the morning. But what I want you to do is just stand to your feet. And I want you to look around and see if you see someone that you don't know. And be brave enough to go give them a smile and a handshake. And have the best week you've ever had. God bless you richly.